two, and one. All right. Don't need a
We can let down our hair, the moon is high, and we are lunatics now. It's deep in the safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Abandon all hope.
Daddy gonna give you something to drink now. I am broadcasting from the middle of the Bermuda Triangle here in Puerto Rico, the Isle of Enchantment, with producer Hardwood Forrest Connor and investigator Shelley Wright in our flagship station in Asheville, North Carolina, News Radio 570 WWNC. And it's just been doing a lot of raining there, hasn't it, recently, Shelley, right?
Oh, yes. Lots and lots of rain.
Wow. So, is everything just mud now there?
It's all very green. It's all growing very, very fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, have there been any more problems with, like, landslides or any of that stuff? Or is it just kind of just wet and muddy all the time?
It's kind of wet and muddy all the time for the most part.
It is. Woodfin floods about every day. Downtown Nashville floods about every day, too.
Yeah, I bet. Well, of course, you, Shelley Wright, have your coin shop there not too far from Biltmore Village. And in 1916, when the major flood hit Asheville, Biltmore Village was completely submerged. And even in 2004, when Ivan the Terrible came through, there was enormous flooding there. Have you seen any flooding recently around your shop, Shelley?
No, we're in a good place. We're considered a flood zone, but we haven't seen anything around our place, which is very good.
Yeah. So, obviously, gold and silver are down right now. It's a buyer's market. How is that affecting people at Wright's Coin Shop?
We have had a flurry of activity. We've had a lot of phone calls. We've had a lot of people come in and kind of see what's going on and what's available. And they're buying a little bit, and then they're kind of waiting to see. You know, they're promising to come back, but they're hoping that the price is going to be even lower. But I tell them, look, it's going lower, but it's harder to get, and who knows, by the time it goes down as far as you want it to, who knows if it's going to be available.
And a lot of the people who are customers of Wright's Coin Shop are fans of this show, and it's my understanding that our fantastic piece of artwork that I talked about being available, our mysterious poster, is no longer there. One lucky fan and Wright's Coin Shop customer has now purchased for the highest bid this piece of art, and it's hanging on his wall.
It is. He is very, very happy. He and his wife are avid listeners. And I think he was happier about his art than his coins today. So.
Well, the art is truly one of a kind.
Yes, it is. It is.
That's right. And we can kind of tell everybody it was a big 20 by 30 glossy poster of myself doing kind of a vampire hunter pose with a crucifix from Romania autographed with a metallic marker.
Yes, yes. Either that look worked for you. It really did. We had a great discussion about that today.
And that was it. That was the only one. So everybody else in the world missed out on this fantastic opportunity.
They did.
All right. Well, good job, Shelley. And the money raised from the sale of this poster is going to go toward a little project for research, monitoring 24 hours a day some of the UFO activity in this area. So that's all for good. So now, Shelley, getting back to just the coins, though, a little bit. I mean, I bet people are just sort of wiping you guys out right now, because obviously the gold and silver market is going to go roaring back here soon. And this is the time to buy while it's low, right?
I would say so. I would. It seems like every time Ben Bernanke has a press conference, the market falls. And Ben Bernanke had a press conference a few days ago. So, yeah, it's definitely much, much lower than it was. And now it's time to get it. Don't just wait around thinking, oh, I'll wait and get it when it gets lower. There may not be another opportunity for you.
So let's say somebody wants to buy one Silver Eagle. How much would that cost if they were to go in there Monday and buy one, you think?
Well, as it is right now, it's 2013 is $28 for cash.
Okay, so there you go. Somebody listening who has never bought any gold or silver, knows nothing about it, all they need is $28 or more or less. We'll say an approximate, because anything can change within 24 hours.
Right.
But they go in there, they buy it, and now they have a tangible piece of wealth with intrinsic value that they can keep in their hand, they can put in their secret hiding place, and we know it's just going to become more and more valuable over time.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I'm doing. I am putting my money where my mouth is, and I am buying silver and gold and just stocking it away.
So if people would like to take that first step, because obviously people who have already taken that first step, they're fans. They're the ones who are just buying stuff left and right. Mm-hmm. But for people who want to take that first step, how can they call you up, talk to you about their options, and kind of figure out what's right for them?
They can call me at 828-298-5402. Or they can come see me at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road in Asheville.
Okay, now, folks, get your pen and your paper out, because we're going to repeat that in a moment. And before we repeat it now, Shelley, if somebody's driving in the Asheville area and they are off of I-40 there near the Biltmore Estate, what exit should they take?
It's exit 51. And when they get to the bottom of the exit, they're going to turn left. So they're going to be turning away from Biltmore Estate.
Okay. All right. So, again, everybody, here's what you do. If you're in the Asheville area, you take exit 51 off of I-40, turn left away from the Biltmore Estate to find Wright's Coin Shop. You can also go to wrightscoinshop.com. That's W-R-I-G-H-T-S, wrightscoinshop.com. Or call Shelley Wright and talk to her in person at this number, 828-298-5402. That's 828-298-5402. And Shelley, are you serious when you tell me there's never been a naked man in Wright's Coin Shop?
As far as I know, there's never been a naked man in Wright's Coin Shop, and there better never be.
Well, you see, I'm not sure. You put that little qualifier in there, as far as you know, which makes me think that maybe there is something going on there that you don't want to admit you know about.
I don't know about anything, but if there has been, I don't want to know about it.
See, I don't know. I'm getting a feeling. Is you don't think that maybe even, your dad's ever been naked in there?
Oh, no. No.
No, sir. Not certainly not your father.
No,
because that's the highest likelihood that he would be naked, because he's been there for 40 years.
Well,
right?
Not in that location.
That's right.
And there is no privacy in there.
Oh, I see. That's the difference. Yeah. Okay. In this location, he's never been naked, but for the past 39 years, yeah, he's been naked. Well, here's the reason I ask this. I obviously have a naked man story. But we put a casting call out there for naked hairy men to come in and audition for Captain Caveman. But if you were to have a naked man come into Wright's Coin Shop, and he had a jolly laugh, and red cheeks and a bowl that wobbled like jelly and all that kind of stuff and a big long white beard. What would you think?
I would think that he is very distracting to my customers, and that perhaps he should cover up. Yes.
Well, wouldn't you feel comfortable knowing that he kind of would look like a naked Santa Claus?
No, that does not comfort me at all.
Really?
No.
Well, because, you know, of all the possibilities, it seems like that would be one of the more pleasant encounters. Here's a story from Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Headline is, Naked Man Who Looked Like Santa Claus Chases Two Women Down the Street. So, you know, I guess it's Christmas in July. They're still searching for this man. Police say the incident happened one morning shortly after midnight. Two women, both age 21, were on their way home from Walmart when the male started chasing them. The man is described as a white male over the age of 50 with a full white beard, and the women said he looked and sounded like Santa Claus. They were able to elude him and call the police. I'm thinking this might be a tulpa of a different kind.
I'm thinking so.
Naked Santa Claus.
Ew.
I would think that would be funny. I would have no problem seeing naked Santa Claus.
Running around looking for a ho ho ho. Yeah.
His belly wobbles like a bowl full of jelly, and his little dangly
bit
looks like jingle bells.
Oh God!
If you find him under the what is it? People kiss on the...
Mistletoe.
The mistletoe, yeah.
Yeah.
The mistletoe. Well, so that would be preferable then, as opposed to a zombie, to see naked Santa Claus.
Well, when you put it that way, I suppose so.
Yeah. Next story comes to us from... Oh, my goodness, it's a McDonald's story.
Oh, Lord.
We just had a McDonald's story last week.
Yeah.
See, it's these patterns. And this is the 69th Street McDonald's in Upper Darby. Okay, looks like this may be in Pennsylvania. It says here, well, I tell you what, we're going to take a break before I get into this. Because I'm going to tell you what some people were doing in McDonald's. And then I'm going to tell you another story about fast food restaurants in general that might turn your stomach a little bit and make you think twice. We're talking about the more outrageous, disgusting, often sordid and seedy, controversial stuff. That's why we call this the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and we'll tell you about the newest McDonald's escapade, or should I say excapade, when we return. This is Speaking of Strange.
On porches
30 hour on Speaking of Strange. This is the program that explores the summit of mankind's enlightenment and the pit of his depravity. And yes, this is the hour of the show when we dig deep into the pit. So it's not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended, when we talk about some of the more sordid and seedy stuff that you will not hear, generally speaking, in the mainstream news. So just tune out if you don't want to hear any of this stuff. That's why we do it late at night. I am broadcasting here from my Bermuda Triangle Research Center in Puerto Rico. We have Forrest Connor and Shelley Wright in the Asheville studio. And I will be back in Asheville soon, working on Puppy Fest. That's right, Puppy Fest. The name says it all. If you're a puppy person, all I can tell you is go to puppyfest.com, puppyfest.com, and read about this event, how you can attend, how you can be involved, and it will be fun for the whole family. And trust me, I don't say that very often. So, getting back to the sordid and seedy stories, here's one headline: Sex at McDonald's gets women kicked out and jumped. Okay. Apparently this is in Pennsylvania, 69th Street. Okay. Around 5 p.m., a group of customers went to the manager of McDonald's and told her there were two young women engaging in loud sex in the restaurant's bathroom. Now, you know, this is not the first time I have read about people getting it on in the McDonald's bathroom. There was one just recently that I read. You guys remember this. To me, the idea of getting it on in the McDonald's bathroom is almost nightmarish. It's just like so freaking gross and weird and just, I mean, I can't imagine doing anything like that. Associating anything pleasurable with the McDonald's bathroom.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, am I alone on this one?
No, you are not alone.
So this group of customers goes to the manager and says, there are two women and they're doing it in the bathroom. And so the manager went to the bathroom, threw the women out of the restaurant, police said. But shortly thereafter, a group of seven or eight of the people who had complained about those women ran outside and began to assault them. One of the women was stabbed in the shoulder with an unknown object by a female in the attacking group who appeared to be around 40 years old and had two children with her.
Oh, my gosh.
So as police arrived, the crowd scattered. Officers had to convince the stabbing victim to seek medical assistance at a hospital where she was treated for her injuries and released. And the couple said the attackers had used derogatory language against them during the beating. I bet. Police are obtaining surveillance footage from McDonald's to determine the identity of the attackers. So this is one of those, you know, amazing little slices of humanity and then a little glimpse of the gray areas of human circumstance where there are people doing something wrong, but then there are other people who do something wrong to them.
Right.
And in the end, who wins? We just have a bunch of losers at the end of that story. Good old McDonald's. A nice slice of Americana.
Mm.
But this is one of those stories that might make you cringe because there's nothing you can do about it. Apparently here, a 12-year-old science student in Florida decided to take on a novel science project. She went around and began testing the ice from fast food restaurants. Okay, you order your drink. You probably order ice, even if you don't. Probably has ice. Collecting the ice and having it tested and found that the ice in your drink over 70% of the time is dirtier than the water in the toilet.
What?
Yeah. As she collected toilet water samples from the same restaurants
okay.
and tested them along with the ice.
I want to know what restaurants.
Well, they say fast food restaurants, so you can imagine who's probably near the top of that list. It's testing positive for E. coli bacteria, which comes from human waste and has been linked to several illness outbreaks across the country. A medical contributor to Good Morning America says the bacteria do not belong there, says that... it's likely dirtier because machines are not cleaned and people use unwashed hands to scoop ice. Toilet water is surprisingly bacteria-free because it comes from sanitized city water supplies. So now, let me pause for a second. So, Forrest, let's say I pulled you aside and I said, Forrest, I'm going to give you a blind taste test to see which soda you like best. All right?
Right.
It's a Coke or Pepsi
test.
Yeah. And you drink the Coke and then you drink the Pepsi and I'm like, which one did you like best? And you're like, oh, I like... Yeah. And then I say, well, actually, Forrest, that wasn't the real experiment. I wanted to see whether you liked... the ice cubes better that I made from the ice machine or the ones I made from the toilet at McDonald's. I have a feeling that there would be a physical quarrel after that. Am I right?
Probably.
I mean, can you imagine that sucking on an ice cube made out of a toilet bowl water supply is at McDonald's? Or wherever they, I mean, you know McDonald's is in there. It doesn't say that, but obviously. Can you imagine that that would actually be better for you than what comes out of their ice machine?
That's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. But they say that, you know, her story's gotten so much publicity that even the local government's getting involved and they're trying to help work on, you know, sanitation issues.
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay, here's a story you might be interested in, Ms. Wright. This comes to us from the freaky state of Lakeland, Florida. That's right, freaky Florida. The state attorney representing Polk County is calling the actions of a Lakeland police officer highly questionable. It says here that this woman was pulled over during a traffic stop, and the officer said he was concerned that she had drugs. So he asked her to lift her shirt above her stomach, and then he says, all right, take off your bra and shake it around for me. And it says here that the officer didn't have any reason to believe she was carrying drugs. No drugs were found on the woman. And the woman claims the policeman just seemed fascinated with her chest and made up a reason for her to shake her bra around. So, how does that strike you as a woman, Shelley Wright, as a bra wearer?
I would not be happy at all. I would not be doing any of those things that he asked her to do.
So you've never experienced that with a law enforcement situation?
Right. No.
Hmm. Okay. Gosh, time for a break. When we come back, here's an interesting story. Man claims to have fathered an alien child. I wonder what that's gonna reveal. And then I also have a story from Illinois about, well, it involves beer cans and condoms. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the Dark 30 Hour. This is Speaking of Strange.
Yeah. Oh, you ought to know what we gonna do.
You guess it, it's me, you guess correctly. I just say what a stallion. You said I wasn't a Christian. I hit her with that bite, call that Nancy Kerrigan. Stay on the green, it's green, call us vegetarians. You be on that minor league, but we smoke professionally. I do my job exceptionally, on point like a decimalist. The way I ride on a beam and I beat up the street is done so effortlessly. Yeah, so this tension is on me, there's no inception in this. I'm top chef, you top rum, and I'm top shelf. No last call, tell the bartender what you got left. Pour it up, don't stop there. Hold your cup, take a shot, yeah. All night we celebrate, cause we everywhere and you not there. All we do is pour it up, all night, drink down.
That's all we do.
And all we do is light it up, all night. All you see is strange clouds.
Strange clouds.
Strange clouds,
yeah.
I'm faded, minding my own data, smoking on that strong, that Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's all for you, you hot as an igloo. Kick back on that Glock, call that jujitsu. Hello world, I'm with a yellow girl, number two pencil. These rappers is washed up, 10 cycle, quench you on. All day, all night, half pipe. I open that, yeah, I belly flop, I jackknife it. Tell my homies that I say it's a party. Got that tech for technical difficulties. I'm top dog, you top rhyming, I'm top dog. Pyro, gangsters, outlaws.
All we do is stand up all night, drink
sound.
Light it up all night, all you see is strange clouds.
It's a Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange, and I remind you, this is not the hour for the kiddies or the easily offended. Tune out if there are kids around. Tune out if you're easily offended, because this is when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial stuff, the more sordid and seedy news that you don't often see in the mainstream. And we feel it's our duty, our obligation, to present this type of content to you. And also keep in mind, if you happen to be in the Asheville area, go to hauntedasheville.com. That's in the Asheville, North Carolina area, hauntedasheville.com. And look into our top-level award-winning five-star ghost tours, walking tours, trolley tours, and visit the Haunted Asheville Mystery Museum. You can also call us at 828-398-GHOST. That's G-O-S-T, 828-398-GHOST, G-O-S-T, or hauntedasheville.com. We have an alien statue in the museum. Art Bell's alien statue that supposedly comes to life at night. And years ago, I interviewed a man on this program. I believe, if memory serves correctly, he was from Australia. And he wrote a book called Hair of the Alien. And he said that he had this extremely vivid, dreamlike experience in which an attractive but slightly odd-looking blonde woman, along with an attractive but slightly odd-looking brunette woman, came into his bedroom at night and, aren't you getting bow wow, right? Yeah! We know what I'm talking about. And he woke up the next day. They were gone. But he got up and he stumbled into the bathroom. And he looks down to do his business, and he finds this very tightly wound, extremely strong hair that's wrapped around his precious parts. And he took this hair to scientists who analyzed it and said, this cannot be explained. You know, this is not genes or DNA that match anything here on Earth. So he wrote this book, a big book all about it, called Hair of the Alien. Does that sound familiar to you, Forrest?
Sounds like something with a shh, I just want to look at you or something like that. Might be a punchline there. I don't know. On a serious note, yes, I have heard, I know a couple people that have supposedly had encounters like this where something would creep into their room in the middle of the night and they'd have relations with a spirit or ghost or alien or whatever it would be.
Well, there's a guy now in the UK who says that he has fathered an alien child. And what makes this story even more significant is that he is a city council member. So this would be like Cecil Bothwell saying he has given birth to an alien.
No comment on that one.
Or maybe he was birthed by an alien. That would explain it. City council member in a small seaside town in the UK has raised some eyebrows after expressing his beliefs in a documentary. The guy claims he's had experiences with aliens since birth, and his real mother is a 9-foot green alien with 8 fingers. His first memory is being lifted out of his cot by an alien. This married father of 3 claims that he has sexual relations with an alien he refers to as the Cat Queen, and he fathered a child with her. And he says he meets her about 4 times a year. And he says, quote, what will happen is that I will hold hands and I will say I am ready. And then technology that I don't understand will take us up to a craft orbiting the Earth. He said his wife, Earth wife, is very unhappy about this.
Duh.
And it says it's caused a few problems, but he doesn't see it as being wrong.
Of course he doesn't.
And he says that when he's not representing the residents there, he spends his days drawing his experiences and coming to terms with them. What's that, Shelley?
Oh, I was just going to refer to him as a cat toy.
Yeah, I guess so. The Cat Queen. How about that? Next story from Evanston, Illinois. Headline, professor quits over hard partying students who left beer cans and condoms strewn over his yard. Citing beer cans and used condoms that constantly litter his lawn, a Northwestern University producer quit. This guy is a professor in medical humanities and bioethics. And he says here, my perception is there's a culture of tolerance or indifference on part of the institution that students will be students. But I hold your office accountable for this sort of behavior. The used condoms tend to show up in the backyard. And he says the vomit, the beer cans, I think they horse around late at night, end quote. And so there are lots of reports about these students being rude, urinating and vomiting on people's lawns. After the parties, piles of garbage, cups, bottles, and kegs are strewn about. And so they ran a professor off with their partying ways. How about that? It must be fun to be a college student now, and now that the internet age has produced a bunch of wild, jackass viewing pornographers. Huh, Forrest?
It must be.
I mean, think about that. You know, the kids who are in college now during their formative years, they were watching Jackass. They're watching porn. How can they take anything seriously? We didn't grow up with that stuff, did we?
No.
There was no Jackass.
I mean, there might have been Beavis and Butthead or The Simpsons. That's about as maybe as wild as they would let us see on TV at that time.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here. This is from Seattle, Washington. Seattle police said a man woke up in the morning to find a strange man sleeping next to him in his bed. That'd be some freaky stuff, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Police were called to the home where the victim told them he woke up and found this man next to him. He ordered him to leave, pushed the man out of his home, but the man stood at the door asking for his bag. Victim told the man he didn't leave his bag. Well, and was going to call 911. And says they were interviewing the victim, and police on the street found the man they thought was the intruder. He told the police immediately, I have some outstanding warrants. And he says that he had met the other fellow the night before, and they got drunk, and he was invited back. Who knows? The guy's been arrested on burglary charges. this is an interesting story right here. Okay, this is from also. Is this from Seattle also? Really? Oh my goodness, it is. Okay. Patterns, right? A man was caught allegedly speeding down I-5 and crashed into cars with his two daughters in the back seat. Police found that he was not only high on methamphetamine and half naked, but he was wearing a women's blouse and prosthetic breasts. And they say this 31-year-old guy has been charged with a bunch of stuff. And he said he was taking them to the dollar store to get toys. But they said that this guy was sweating, obviously impaired. He was naked with the waist down, wearing only the women's blouse. They cut the blouse away and found the prosthetic breasts. There was also a nearly completely bottle of urine and a pair of women's underwear on the floor of the car. My goodness, what the heck's happened in Seattle?
Ew.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the last few stories of the night. It's the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to Speaking of Strange.
Nothing.
$0.99. I get tapping it, washing it. About to go and get some compliments. Passing up on those moccasins. Someone else has been walking in by me and grudge me. I'm stunting and flossing and saving my money. And I'm hella happy that's a bargain. I'ma take your grandpa style. I'ma take your grandpa style. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I have his hair me down? Drag your Lord jumpsuit and some house slippers. Dookie Brown leather jacket that I found. Dig it. I had a broken keyboard. I bought a broken keyboard. I bought a ski blanket. Then I bought a kneeboard. Hello, hello, my ace man, my mellow. John Wayne ain't got nothing on my
some cool yellows. The sneaker has to be light.
Ah, he got the Velcro. I'm gonna pop
some. Hi, this is Ron Jeremy, star of many, many adult films, but I've never seen a show more hung where it counts.
Now, here's your host, the only man in radio who has achieved nirvana, Joshua P. Warren.
That's right, in the final minutes of tonight's Speaking of Strange. And it's the dark 30 hour, of course. So I've saved, you know, some of the ones that sort of stood out for me here for the last. And don't forget, if you go to joshuapwarren.com, you should watch the little video about the wishing machine. Doesn't matter what hardships you're dealing with in your life right now. I mean, I wouldn't be selling this thing if we didn't have a whole stack of testimonies from people around the world who were saying, thank you, this works. So go to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. And check out the little video about the wishing machine. Now, here's a story that I can kind of appreciate because there are toll booths around here, and I really don't like toll booths. Who does? Well, do you know that the Holland Tunnel outside of New York was closed down recently for 5 to 10 minutes while police conducted a security sweep because that a 21-year-old guy jumped out of his car, ran into a toll booth, and took a crap inside. It's like, yes, well done, sir. We're all cheering this man on. Well done. Yes, he defecated inside of a toll booth about 10 p.m. Supposedly, he had told his three friends in the car that he felt sick and that if they didn't let him out, he was going to crap in the car. He blamed horrible food in New York City for his illness. Okay, well, the man was given a ticket for trespassing. Police said they never had an incident like this before, and it was just weird. Yeah, there you go. That's why we're reporting it here on Speaking of Strange. Second story has a similar theme. This comes to us from Orange County, Florida. Deputies found a burglar there covered in grease and stuck in the window of a convenience store. According to deputies, the man broke into Sam's Discount Food Store by sliding through a grease trap on the store's roof. The alarm went off, and the deputy who responded said he saw the 34-year-old man stuck there in one of the windows. So the arrest report said the man told the deputy that he was stuck, could not move, and had to, quote, take a poop and was not going to wait, end quote. The deputy helped the man out of the window and indeed let him poop before he took him into custody. Well, what an upstanding officer. It says, according to the report, the man had tried to steal 2 dirty magazines and 3 packs of cigarettes, and he ate a ham sandwich at the store that was probably outdated.
Wow.
Which is why he had to poop so badly. And now, this last story, which again, sadly enough, seems to be tying in to this latest theme, comes to us from, oh yes, my friends, Japan. You know, it's always interesting when it comes from Japan. It's about a creepy pervert. A man in Japan was arrested for hiding in a drainage sewer, hoping to look up women's skirts. Okay, he's 26 years old. He was arrested in Kobe, where they have the famous Kobe beef. And he admitted, quote, I've done this all my life. The guy entered a narrow drainage ditch and crawled hundreds of feet through the ditch to reach a spot there that was only 1 foot by 1.5 feet. Okay, imagine this. Again, nightmarish. And he would wait there underneath a metal covering at the women's university nearby to watch women walking overhead. And he had done this again and again and again, and often said he would start at 8 a.m. in the morning and do it in the sewer from dusk till dawn. He said it was his upskirt panty day. He says, if I could be born again, I'd like to be a living sidewalk with eyes. Now that is a guy with his mind in the gutter. And that's going to do it for this edition of the show. I thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, Mobius, and Kuka. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Till next time, we'll be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter and Twitter, and tune in next week for a brand new one. You are commanded!
I like to do the thing. Yeah, you call it on the